Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
All right. Well, we're going to jump into the scripture today. And if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Exodus chapter 1. There are some Bibles in some of the seats nearby you if you need to, if you'd like to take advantage of one of those Bibles or your Bible app or whatever you might have. Exodus chapter 1. And as we begin this morning, I want to just say that when it comes to speaking on Mother's Day, that, and I think you can understand this, that I often feel very unqualified. I feel like I'm speaking in a room full of experts, and I am definitely not one of them. But one of the cool things about the Bible is that the Bible is full of experts. How many know what I'm saying? The Bible's full of experts. The Bible's full of great men and women of God who made mistakes, who struggled, who had hardships, who we can all relate to. But they also inspire us. And so this morning we're going to allow one of these great moms in the Bible to do the speaking, and I'll just make reference to her and her story. We're gonna have a great time as we look at God's Word today. Before we get started, though, I wanna say, and I know that some of you know this already, that today is a very special day for Barb and I. Not only is Barb a great mom and an awesome Nana, according to our grandkids, our seven grandkids, but it just so happens that today is our 40th wedding anniversary, and that's what, she's still the beautiful bride, but that's what I used to look like. And it's just crazy, hard to believe that 40 years ago we walked the aisle of our church back in Portage la Prairie, Manitoba, and my dad was the pastor, and her dad walked her down the aisle, and the rest is history. But I just want to say publicly how thankful to God I am for Barb and just the great woman of God she is, has been. We were high school sweethearts. We met each other in high school, and our relationship, friendship began then, and it's been nurtured over all these years. She loves Jesus. She loves her family incredibly, and she has the same kind of aspirations that every mom in this place has for her kids and for her family, that they would know the Lord and that together we would walk with God. So I'm blessed because of her, and I'm honored to be her husband, and she's the first lady in our house, and thankful to God for her. And so I was kind of doing some calculating that if we could do another 40 years, it would just put me over the 100 mark. So how many think that's possible? Yeah, why not? So let's give her a whirl, all right? Anyway, so the story this morning that we're going to look at is the story, and I've actually titled this sermon today, Mighty Moms. And I needed a title, and I thought it worked. And the Bible's full of mighty moms, but the one that we're going to look at today is a mom by the name of Jochebed. And Jochebed, how many have heard of Jochebed before? I did a little poll this week and was just asking people about this woman in the Bible by the name of Jochebed, and it kind of created a lot of kind of strange, like, looks on people's faces, not sure who she was or where she fit in. And in reality, this woman, her name is only mentioned twice in the Bible, but in reality, it's not even mentioned in the story that we're going to read today. So while the story we're going to look at today, we're going to look at it, her name isn't even mentioned. So how's that go for name recognition. Anyway, this woman by the name of Jochebed, she was a slave girl. She was married to a Levite in the Old Testament. She was living in a time of great crisis, and as the people of God, it was just a powerfully stressful time. And yet she understood that somehow God was in control. And as we are going to look at her story this morning, her story speaks powerfully of the kind of person, the woman that she was. And in case you haven't figured it out yet, Jochebed was the mother of Moses in the Old Testament. And so we're going to read starting at chapter 2, verse 1. And then we will pick up some of these verses as we go again a little bit later on. And so following along, and now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. See there again, doesn't even give her name. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, how many would agree that every child's a fine child, according at least to the mother's eyes anyway, was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." How many moms would like to get paid to be the mom of your kids? Yeah. And so the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." So a little bit of a background here. Israel has been in captivity for a few hundred years by now in Egypt. And during this time, as things kind of progressed, the nation of Israel, who are now in captivity among the people of Egypt, is growing. It's multiplying. They're having a baby boom. The birth rate is going up. And as time goes on, some of the Egyptian leaders, the king, the pharaoh, came to this point recognizing that if we allow this to continue, they are soon going to outnumber us. And what potentially could happen is that these babies are going to eventually grow up, and as we get outnumbered, they're going to overtake us. And so the king came up with this idea that let's get rid of the babies, and especially the baby boys. And so they came up with this plan that every baby boy that was to be born was to be, and there's other parts of the plan, I won't go into all the details, but every baby boy that was to be born was to be killed and thrown into the river. And so that's the context of our mom that we're talking about today, this Jochebed. That's the setting behind the story that we're going to look at. And what I want to do for a few minutes is just talk about some things that we can learn from the life of Jochebed. And what was it that made her to be a mighty mom? And we're going to go through a few things here together. First of all, number one, this woman, this Jochebed, was a woman of great faith in God. And you might want to, there's some notes in your bulletin. If you want to just jot some of these things down, you can feel free to do so. She was a woman of great faith. And what's interesting is that in spite of so many years of slavery and oppression, this nation was, the people of Israel were completely under oppression here in Egypt. Nothing, oppression, slavery, could not kill this woman's faith in God. And in spite of all of the odds that were stacked against her, Jochebed knew who she was. And I was thinking about it even this week, how that Jochebed knew her identity. She knew that she was more than a slave girl. She knew, and perhaps it's a tribute to her mother and her the generations that preceded her, that this story of faith was passed along from one to another. She knew that she was one of God's chosen people. She knew that she was a child of God. She was an Israelite. She was from the tribe of Levi. She was a Levite who would eventually become the people who God would use to serve in the temple, the tabernacle, as priests and so on. Her name, her very name, and amongst many of the Jewish people, their names meant something, just like many people name their kids today with some of the meaning, with the whole idea of a meaning behind the name. But her name, Jochebed, I think the actual translation is Jochebed, meant glory of Jehovah. There's a name if you're looking for a name, moms, dads, perhaps consider this one. The glory of Jehovah. She knew that she represented the glory of God, which is, I think, pretty amazing when a woman in her identity understands even her name has significance. Jochebed, as I said earlier, she knew that she was more than a slave girl, but rather she was a woman of God. And I want to just encourage you today as moms. I want to encourage you, even as parents today, any one of you, that you are more, your identity is not attached to your stuff. Your identity is not attached to how many likes you might get on Facebook or wherever. Your identity is not the home that you live in or the car that you drive or not drive. Your identity is not how well behaved your kids are or not. Your identity, and the beautiful thing here is that our identity is connected to Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you with that. Her identity, Jochebed's identity, was in her relationship with God. And in spite of the pressures, the evil day that was upon her, it did not squeeze out her faith. How many would agree today that we live in a world that is very hostile to the Christian faith? And it's very easy today to just allow the pressures of this life and this world that we live in to squeeze out our relationship with God. And so I want to encourage you that in the context, the setting that you are in your own life today, and I don't know every story that's represented here this morning, but the setting that you happen to come from today, it's a place where you need that foundation, you need that cornerstone of faith in Christ. And we see this with Jochebed, that she was a woman of great faith in God, and we see her passing it on to her children. It's interesting that Abraham Lincoln once said, that no man is poor who has a godly mother. That's a good word. No man is poor who has a godly mother. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, if you wanted to just write this into your notes, it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You know, it's not about our physical appearance or the charm that we carry. What really matters is our faith in God. It's our relationship with God. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're a mom or a dad or whoever you might be, that if you've never experienced what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then today is a great day to start. Today is a good day to begin, to begin your identity with Christ and begin that journey, that walk with Him. And so Jochebed was a woman of faith. Secondly, she was a woman of great hope. Great hope. I love the songs we were singing earlier that made reference to hope. Verse 2, in Exodus chapter 2, it says, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son, And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Hebrews 11, we'll make reference to that later. It says he's referenced as being no ordinary child. I mean, every mom, again, thinks that her child's the number one, right? Like, my child is further ahead than every other kid in school. Like, he's just like, you hear that often. My point I want to say here is that Jochebed, she understood the world she was living in. She understood the challenges that she was facing. She understood that the law said that her baby boy was to be killed, to be thrown into the river. She understood that. And she could have just given up and said, you know what? I'm just going to let the powers that be have my son. Can you relate to what I'm saying this morning? But here's a woman who refused to surrender to the hopelessness of her day. And when I was praying about this week, I couldn't help but think that as parents, I over the years, over our 40 years of marriage, we've often heard parents say, you know what, I couldn't imagine raising children in today's world. I can remember when we started having kids, and we had four of them, and I had people say to us, you know, I can't imagine you guys raising four kids today in today's world. Was it easy? No. What about today? Is it easier today? No. One thing I've learned, and I think you would agree with me, that there's no perfect time to raise a child. There's no good time, no right time, no best time, no, where the circumstances are good, where everything is awesome. I always feel that somehow we got life backwards. You know, like when you have a little more means to care and provide and all that kind of thing, we don't have kids. You know, it's when you struggle the most is when you have kids. I haven't figured that one out. How many know what I'm saying? When you have the most kids, you have the smallest house. It's weird that way. I mean, we have, our house right now is kind of empty. We have way more room than we started when we had our four kids. But the reality is that there's no perfect time. And especially we see this with Jochebed. Like, the setting that she was in was hopeless. But Jochebed refused to give in to fear. Jochebed refused to give in to her present circumstances. She refused to give in to the lies that life was tough and that there was no future for her or for this child. We had a few ladies just recently go to a retreat over in Powell River. And one of the things that the speaker said was that any area of our life that does not glisten with hope means we are believing a lie. How many know that we live in a world full of lies? And it affects who we are. It affects our identity. It affects our hope. And if Jochebed would have believed that there's no future for my child, there's no potential for this child, there's no future for me as a mom, if she would have just given in to that pressure, we may not have had Moses as we had come to know him. And so Jochebed refused to give in to the cultural battles and the forces of the day that were set to destroy her child. I think that's one of the ministries of the pregnancy care ministry, is they want these young women to understand that there is a future and there is hope and there is a plan and God has a plan and God can overcome any obstacle that may have been set against you. At the end of the day, hope must prevail. And somehow I see this, it's Jochebed. You know, I've never preached from this woman's story before, but it really was inspiring me as I was preparing this week. She believed that God was still in control. And in spite of hearing the track, can you imagine the moms getting together and just hearing their stories and the anguish and the crying of their hearts as they, so many of them had lost their baby already. And here's one woman who said, somehow we're going to believe God for the future of our nation and that God would work out his plan. And friends, moms, what we need today is moms who refuse to give up hope. Moms who refuse to believe the lies. And this applies to dads too. It applies to any one of us. moms who see with the eye of faith. It says when she saw that he was a fine child. When she saw. What does faith help us to see? What does faith help you to see with your child? And it's not just the fact that he's been a little bit of a, just an ornery little critter today, but and there's other things I might have said, but I won't say it. But somehow to believe in the potential, in the destiny, in the future of our kids. Moms who have hope and look beyond their present and tough circumstances. We have moms in our church who struggle with great struggles, and yet somehow that we can encourage and inspire and provide hope to help them to overcome. Moms who are willing to trust God with their lives and with their families. Moms who choose to fear God more than fear man. We see this with Jochebed. Moms who have hope to overcome the obstacles, the challenges, the struggles, the adversity, the insecurities, the mistakes, the failures. We serve a God of hope, friends. And we can't let anything in our past keep us from the destiny and the future that God has for us, for you, and for your kids. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. We see this with this slave girl, Jochebed. I love Romans 15:13. I often quote it. Romans 15:13 says, "And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." My prayer this morning is that every mom in this place, every dad, every parent, every senior adult, whoever you might be, would be filled with the God of hope this morning. And that we would choose to believe that God is in control and that we want to partner with that. And so she had great faith, she had great hope. We also see that she was a woman of great courage. You know, it took courage for Jochebed to say no to the king. It took courage for Jochebed to keep her baby boy hidden for the first 3 months of his life. And can you imagine, just imagine again with me, can you imagine this woman praying? Can you imagine her, Jochebed, holding her little son in her arms, caring for him, and thinking about what could be and what all the horrible things that could potentially happen to him. But she's holding him, nurturing him, protecting him, trying to keep him quiet. Pretty hard to do for a newborn, isn't it? It says in verse 3, when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Here's a question for you. How many moms would be prepared to do something like that? It'd be like taking your baby down to the shoreline of the Puntledge River or something like that and sort of tucking him into the reeds. You know, here's the point. It takes courage to trust God with your life. And it takes courage to trust God with your children. It takes courage to step out in faith. She protected this baby. And now, you know, she can't hide him any longer. She can't keep him under wraps any longer. And so she takes him and puts him into this little basket. Puts him out into the reeds in the Nile along the shoreline. Basically, here what she was doing, she was having to let go. And that's not an easy thing for moms to do, is it? You know, the first day that little guy toddles off to preschool or kindergarten or whatever, how many moms can relate to those early days of having to let go? Or maybe that first day that someone else looks after your child and it's not you. It's tough. Those are tough moments. But here's a mom who's actually putting her baby in a basket out in the river, the very river that potentially could take his life. And there he is. I couldn't help but that expression that we need to let go and let God. And somehow she had enough courage to believe that God was in control. I was thinking about even when we dedicate our children to the Lord through child dedication, that one of the things that we're doing as parents is that we are surrendering our kids to God's plan and purposes. And it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to take our hands off sometimes and say, God, you have my child's destiny and future, and my job is just to help to nurture it along. And Jochebed basically was setting a plan in motion. God already had a plan for Moses. See, it wasn't Jochebed that actually named Moses. She probably had a name for her little guy. We're not told that. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But somehow, and she didn't know what the future held for Moses. God hadn't shown to her that he would eventually be the leader of their nation. But by her stepping out in faith and hope and having courage, she was actually partnering with God and the plan that God had for this little boy. And so we pick up the story here in verse 5. We read it a bit earlier. Let me just make reference to it again. Verse 5, it says, "And then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it, opened it, saw the baby. Baby was crying. She felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. "Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter," because remember, the sister was kind of hanging out nearby, Bible said earlier. And she runs up and she says, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" How many would say she's a smart, opportunistic girl, right? Smart girl. "Well, yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me." The Pharaoh's daughter didn't know this was the mother. Just someone who had the nursing capacity to care for this baby. And she said, "Take the baby, nurse him, and I will pay you." Again, good deal. Isn't it? God often takes the worst scenario and turns it into something pretty good. And so in this case, Jochebed now has gone from, you know, living in hiding and in fear and putting her baby in a basket to now actually going to be living in the king's palace, the Pharaoh's palace, with the best of everything around her. And she's getting to nurse and getting paid to look after her own son. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter. We're not exactly told how old he was at this point. And he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Which leads to the last point I want to leave with you today. And that is that this woman, Jochebed, was a woman of great influence. Great influence. And I was thinking about it, because we all know the story of Moses and the man that he became, the man of God that he became, and how his life unfolded. But I was thinking about these early days, weeks, months, that Jochebed years had the privilege of caring for her own son. What do you think was going on during this time? How many would agree this morning that these years, these early years of the life of a child are extremely important? You call them the formative years, the impressionable years. James Dobson said children are like wet cement. I remember when we were kids, we'd often kind of wander around when the guys were doing construction and laying sidewalks or whatever, and we'd go in and we'd put our hand in the cement. Did you guys ever do stuff like that? Oh, yeah. and it was pretty cool to be able to do that, because, you know, you could actually leave an impression on that wet cement. You know, you leave it too long and you couldn't do it anymore. And it would drive the construction workers crazy, because you'd mess up their beautiful job, you know. But here's Jochebed. She understood that her opportunity to influence, to make an impression on her child was likely going to be short. But she took full advantage of the time that she had. I want to encourage you, moms, parents, dads, even grandparents, you have an incredible opportunity to influence your children and your grandchildren. And I want to encourage you to seize that opportunity while you have it. We don't know for sure exactly what Jochebed talked about with her son, but I can, again, just imagine that they talked about faith. They talked about their history. They talked about how that they had been brought into slavery and so on. They talked about all kinds of things, I'm sure. Because how did Moses make the decisions and the choices that he eventually would make without having that foundational influence that had come from his mother? If you have your Bibles, look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, if you're following along. It says, and by faith, Moses' parents, here's a little bit of the historical perspective from Hebrews. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Pick it up, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I don't think this was something to be said out of disrespect. But the point here is that Moses knew who he was and who he was not. Are you with me? Talking about identity. Moses knew and understood that he was not of the people of Egypt or Pharaoh. He knew that he belonged to the people of God. Where did he get that from? Did he get it from reading a book or something? I don't know. He might have had something that he read in a papyrus story or whatever. But I believe, and I think it's implied, that he got it from his mother and his parents, because it looks like a dad was involved as well. And he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. How did Moses get this stuff? How did he even come to a place where he recognized that there was something beyond now? That he could see that there was a future that didn't include Egypt. Where did he get that from? I believe he got a lot of it from his mother. You know, it's very likely that even though the mother, when she was done her nursing duties, probably still had visiting rights. Is that possible? It's very likely that even though the Pharaoh's daughter now adopted him as her son, that Jochebed likely still had the opportunity to come and spend time. Maybe she ended up still living in the palace for all we know. But obviously, Moses, came to know who he was and who he was not. Verse 27, it says, by faith, going on a little farther, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Who did he see? He saw God. He had a faith in God himself. In verse 28, it says he kept the Passover and so on. And so the simple question again is, how did Moses come to identify with the people of God? How did he make the decisions and the choices that he eventually made? I believe it was the influence of his mom. Let me just say this. Never underestimate, ladies, the influence of a mother and the role and the privilege that you have. And I would say the same would apply to a father, but there's something about a mom who just really God has put you in this incredible place because in many ways you are with your children even far more than us men are. You know, I look down here and I see Tara Lynn holding her little son in close. She's spent far more time with him than even the father. Not to underestimate the role of a dad, because Father's Day is coming, guys, so we're going to go for it there too. But this Jochebed, she stewarded well the opportunity that she had to influence her son. Jochebed knew that God had given her this assignment for such a time as this. And I want to encourage you moms that God has given to you this incredible assignment, that you would steward it well, that you would accept the role that God has given to you to influence your children in the ways of God. Grandparents, that you would steward the responsibility that God has given to you to continue to influence your children in the ways of God. At the bottom of your notes this morning, there's a little question about just today's takeaways and some things that maybe you might glean from today's word. Last Sunday morning, our theme was Holy Spirit encouragement, and from the book of Acts, and we talked about how the Holy Spirit has come to strengthen and encourage His church. I believe today the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you this morning, because moms have a tendency to beat themselves up. Moms have a tendency to see all the things that they're doing wrong. Moms have a tendency to just, you know, feed on their failures and mistakes. But I want to encourage you this morning that God has given you an incredible assignment, and He's given you incredible resources for you to fulfill the mission, the purpose that God has given to you. And as a church, we stand with you. That's why we take seriously the role of ministering to children and families and wanting to do our very best. Pastor Johnny's going to be talking tonight about family, and we're just believing that God wants to raise up strong families, strong households, strong moms and dads who love Jesus, who have a faith in God, who have an eternal hope, who refuse to give in to the pressures of this crazy world that we live in, and recognize that God has a huge job for you to do, and He will help you to do it. I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come back. We were going to sing this song earlier, but I wanted to end with it this morning. And it's just a song entitled Cornerstone. And it just starts with, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness," something like that. But the reality is that as we take on this responsibility of parenting you as moms, that the foundation of your life would be the very presence of God in your life. That He would be your cornerstone. That He would be your identity. That He would inspire the hope that is within you. That He would give you courage. I'm praying this morning for moms to be women of courage. That God would give you a courageous heart to do what He's called you to do. I'm going to invite you to stand with me, everybody, and let's just, before we even sing it, let's just maybe bow our heads, close our eyes just for a moment, and just say, God, thank You. Thank You for Your love, for Your grace. Thank You for Your blessing in my life. Thank You that You are always present. You are my help. You are my hope. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to invite all our moms that are upstairs. We got a bunch that already went downstairs, but I'm going to invite moms to come. We're going to just pray with you. I'm going to bless you. Thank You, Lord. I want you to be encouraged. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would encourage every mom in this place right now, in Jesus' name. Mom, just lift your hands before the Lord and just say, thank you. Holy Spirit, just encourage every mom right now in this place. Lord, give them the eye of faith. Let them see. Let them see the potential. Let them see something that maybe no one else can see, but the destiny, the purpose, the value. That somehow that they are partnering with your plan. And we've got some parents, some moms in this place, and you've got children that perhaps are away from God today. You've raised them in the ways of God, but they've walked away. My encouragement to you this morning is refuse to give up hope. Do not let the enemy lie and rob you of the hope for your child. Because God still has a plan, and God still has a purpose, and God still has a destiny for your children to fulfill. And so we declare that this morning in Jesus' name. Can we just do that right now in Jesus' name? We declare your plan. We declare destiny over our kids today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just say it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You would just receive this word today. And that you would go out strengthened and encouraged, filled with hope, refusing to surrender to the hopelessness of this world that we live in. Believing, we just want to believe God that there are so many great men and women that are in your hands right now that are being raised, that are going to influence this nation just as Moses touched a nation, led a nation. Who is it that God has put in your hands?
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.